20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thursday is upon us. Another weekend is almost here. It is already March, which is crazy. I am Jason Perrone, half of your Thursday Pack-A-Day Podcast crew. You can also find some of my work over at Game On Wisconsin, where I do the Quick Slants podcast that is still on a bit of a hiatus, pending any major, major news, which we still don't have. Along with me, as always, Mark Eckel over on the warmer East Coast. Mark, it was Aaron Rodgers has emerged from the darkness.
Yes, he has.
Yes, he has. So he went on to the Aubrey Marcus podcast that I don't think half of us had heard of until earlier this week when it was announced that Rodgers would go on that podcast.
Heck, you know, he was going to come on ours.
That's right. And then Aubrey stepped in.
He narrowed it down to us or Aubrey, and he said, and I don't blame him. You know, he went on Aubrey. That's okay.
Yeah, he went on. Okay, that's fine. They, you know, they're good friends now. They're really good friends since 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I guess. And he went to a bunch of games this past year, and so they've become brothers, as they referred to each other several times on the podcast. And so I did listen to the majority of it just to hear what Rodgers had to say. He didn't make any kind of declaration or decision on what he's going to do football wise, but he did think about it while he was in there. And I know some of our audience wants to know what the result of it was. So if you haven't heard it or you haven't checked out what was going on with it, it was about an hour and a half. Rodgers and Aubrey had a conversation and talked about a bunch of stuff that he thought about. But he did talk a little bit about football. He was in this dark retreat for 4 days. He did specifically say he pondered the idea of retirement. He pondered the idea of playing. But I think that was all part of the deal. Now, he did say this wasn't the main reason why he went into this. He said it was just to disconnect, reset, you know, put the phone down, just really kind of get in touch with yourself, right? Because how often do we get a chance to do that? And I thought to myself, well, how often do most of us get a chance to just go in a dark room for 4 days and the rest of our family isn't like, hey, I got 4 days worth of laundry that you didn't do while you were gone or something like that, errands or whatever it be, right? So good, you know, good for him that he doesn't have some of those things.
You know, not for nothing. Aaron Rodgers is unique in a lot of ways.
He really is.
Not just as a, you know, one of the greatest football players to ever play, but he's single, which for 39 and single, that's kind of rare. Mm-hmm. You know, no kids. Mm-hmm. That's also relatively rare, right? I mean, most 39-year-old men, if they're not married, they have kids from a prior marriage or from a relationship, whatever. So, I mean, no wife, no kids, not real close to his family, we've learned through the years. Mm-hmm. He can go away for 4 days, and there's nobody that's really missing him, so to speak, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And again, I'm not saying that in any kind of a bad way. I'm just pointing out that I don't know many 39-year-old men that don't have the responsibilities that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's also a lot of guys his age or that played NFL football, period, that can't do a lot of the things that Aaron Rodgers can do. So I guess to the victor goes the spoils. So one thing that...
Listen,
that,
I like Aaron Rodgers. I do. I like him on and out. I think he's... I admire his uniqueness. I do. I really do. Like I said, I've said this on our podcast for the last couple of weeks, months, whatever. If he's not playing for the Packers next year, as long as he's not playing against the Packers, I'm going to want to see him do well. If he's with the Jets or Tennessee or wherever, that'll be my second favorite team.
Okay.
They really well. Unless the Packers get a pick next year from that team, then of course I won't want that team to do well because I don't want that pick to be, you know, the third pick in the draft instead of the 29th pick in the draft. You
more
know
primo.
But, yeah. Other than that, I would want to see him succeed. I don't hold any. Aaron Rodgers has given me a lot of excitement as a Packer fan through the years, so I don't wish any ill will on him if he goes anywhere else.
He's given us all a lot of excitement. So I'll ask you: is your positive take on Rodgers, is it influenced at all by the fact that as a writer, he's great for content, or is it more of just your personality and like, hey, you dig his vibe?
No, writing aside, no, as a fan, as a Packer fan, as a writer, I like him because he gives you a lot to write about. But no, as a Packer fan, you know, I try to separate now, Packer writer, Packer fan. As a Packer fan, no, I like him because he was a great quarterback for all these years and always gave the Packers a chance to win games and win, you know, I know he only won one Super Bowl, but before Tom Brady, winning one was pretty good. Dan Marino never won any in Miami.
Sure.
You know, Dan Fouts never won any in San Diego. Donovan McNabb didn't win any in Philadelphia. I can go on and on about guys who never won one. You know, Drew Brees only won one in New Orleans. So, I mean, winning one, you know, but they were always in the mix, or most, not every. You know, they, again, this was only the fifth time in 31 years that the Packers missed, had a losing record. Five in 30 some years. That's pretty good.
Not bad. Remember how celebrated it was to win a Super Bowl as a quarterback? And now, because of Brady?
Brady ruined everything.
It ruined everything.
But anyway.
Yeah, he did. Well, so Rodgers did say, so back to what I was going to kind of, I mean, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because he really didn't say much. I mean, he didn't make any declarations. There's more to be decided. And we know
he said he's going to do it soon, though.
He's going to do it soon. And we know that Brian Gutekunst spoke earlier in the week, and our Wednesday crew did a good job breaking down some of the comments that he made at the Combine. We can touch on those briefly after this. But one thing that Rodgers did say was, you know, he did specifically say on day three, he kind of pondered retirement. On day four, he pondered playing again. And it just seemed like his stream of consciousness and the way he was talking about his progression of his mindset made it seem more likely than not that he's probably doesn't want to be done playing. But there's a lot to be decided yet. I mean, he has to go back to Green Bay and not to Green Bay, but he has to go back with and get with Brian Gutekunst and talk with him and talk through some of that stuff. It sounded like from what Gutekunst said, while we transition over that to a little bit, that there was more conversations that needed to be had with Rodgers. But as has been discussed and said, and again, our team that did the Wednesday show covered this nicely, Brian Gutekunst is obviously gotten himself ready for the future if that doesn't include Aaron Rodgers based on what he said.
Right. No, I mean, listening to the general manager on Tuesday, is Jordan Love will be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers in 2023. Mm-hmm. I'm convinced of that. I mean, he didn't hedge this time. He didn't, I mean, he didn't come out. He's very good. Gutekunst is very good at handling the questions of media. He says just enough. He's not Ted, who basically didn't say anything. And he's not Ron Wolf, who maybe said too much sometimes. But he made it, in my mind, he made it pretty clear. You know, I mean, he couldn't have praised Jordan Love. I mean, I thought he was talking about Patrick Mahomes sometimes when he was talking about Jordan Love. I mean, I was like, wow, you know. And, you know, like a few months ago, you know, he made comments like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, yes, we want Rodgers back. Yes, we want Aaron. Oh, yeah. You know, he still gives us our best chance to win. And we know Bob. He didn't say any of that. There was none of that. There was, well, we have to talk to Aaron, you know. And then, have you talked to Aaron? No, just a couple texts. Have you talked to Jordan? Oh, yeah, we talk every day. Well, wait a minute. So, listen, I'll be very, very, and I've been surprised before, but I'll be very surprised if Jordan Love is not the Packers' starting quarterback in September.
Yeah.
I'll be very surprised. Now, Roger, that means Rodgers. And again, you said Rodgers spent a whole day in his solitude contemplating retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And again, I told you this when we were doing our little pre-show thing. Whether you're a football player, a doctor, a police officer, a reporter, when you start thinking about retirement, it's time to retire. As someone who retired, I could speak about that. I mean, I never mentioned the word until the year I decided I was retiring. And you just know. And I don't think you talk about it unless it's a real possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a real possibility for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And again, 18 years, 39 years old, who would? I don't think anybody would say, what? He's retiring? And I know he's leaving a lot of people. Oh, he can't leave that money out there. He's got a lot of money. You know, it's not like he's going to be, you know, looking for his next meal somewhere. He's fine. And guess what? He'll get a job tomorrow doing, if he wanted to be an announcer, if he wanted to be whatever, he could get it. The money's not important. Mm-hmm. It really isn't.
Right. Right. No. Yeah. I mean, listen,
someone on a 1,000% when I retired, I left money out there but I was done. I didn't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And I'm sure other people, you know, I'm speaking for myself, but I'm sure other people in other walks of life will tell you the same thing. They knew it was time.
Yeah, you have to get to a point. You have to get to a point where you understand the value of things that aren't money.
Right.
Which is time and energy and effort. And, you know, it's kind of like what you said too, where.
In his case, getting his ribs broken, his hand broken, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. All those kind of things. I mean, he did talk on the podcast as well. He's got dreams and aspirations after football. I mean, who knows? Maybe he wants to have a family. Maybe he wants to have kids. He's waiting until he's done playing to do that.
Maybe he wants to host Jeopardy.
Wants to host Jeopardy.
or another game show.
Something else. Well, that'll add to your TV lineup at night then, right? Or you already watch Jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You already watch it, so. But it that would add a little bit more intrigue into that. But, yeah, I mean, there's other things that he may want to do. I think it may come down to just, you know, he goes back and says, hey, goes back to Goody. He knows where the team stands and is like, hey, it sounds like you're moving on. I really do want to play. I don't know that I want to go play somewhere else, though, so I think I might just hang it up. Are you 100% sure? Goody's like, yeah, it's time to move on, and then that's it.
And then the next move is, okay, when are we putting number 12 up in the rafters?
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully it'll be against the Bears.
Yep.
That would be fitting, wouldn't it?
It would be, but the last time, so...
I know, Favre, they lost when they put Favre up against...
Yeah, I think the last two times they've unveiled, I don't know if they did for Ted's game, too. I think the last two times they unveiled someone's name, they didn't win the game. So, I don't know. And it was Favre against the Bears in 2015, and I think that was Thanksgiving, and it was kind of a crap weather night, but Bart was in the building, and ironic, right? It's one of the only times Jay Cutler and the Bears beat the Packers.
Yeah. So, one of Rodgers' few losses to the Bears.
Yeah.
Some might say Rodgers lost on purpose.
Yeah, it was a dumb one. Yeah,
it might have. Favre's night, but I won't go there.
It was a dumb one. That was a really dumb one for sure. But so that's that on the Rodgers saga. I mean, again, not a lot of information to come out that came out of it there, and there's going to be more that'll actually come out that's tangible. Probably, hopefully, next week, because we're into March
now.
Yeah,
it's got to be soon. It'll be before. I mean, he kind of promised that it would be before free agency begins. That's the 15th.
Yeah, which is coming.
Yeah,
it's got to be next week, right? I mean, I would hope to hear something at some point.
He'll probably announce it on McAfee next Tuesday.
Yeah, maybe
that's my guess.
Maybe McAfee can have technical difficulties and they'll have to delay their show until Wednesday, and then we'll break it for the Packaday crew. Yeah, Wednesday's had a lot of good fortune with Rodgers speaking on McAfee.
Yeah,
so that's helpful. But in transitioning over, there were some other news that hit on Wednesday as well, which was that the Packers, which was kind of expected because it was something that I think was telegraphed a bit, they restructured Kenny Clark's contract and freed up quite a bit of additional cap space. They and Mark, you had kind of more of the numbers there, but I mean,
just from what's been reported by the people that report that stuff, Kenny Clark alone saved them $11 million on the cap. Mm-hmm. So that puts them at one point when the season ended, they were like 16 point something million over the cap, and now they're like almost 18 million under the cap.
Sure.
And they're not done.
Right. Yeah, they'll do more.
David Bakhtiari.
Yep. They'll
Save them another 8 to 10, but depending on how they do it, I'm guessing it's going to be like another 8 to 10 million.
Yep.
They're going to be among the top 10 in cap room.
Okay.
When it's all said and done.
Now I hope that all of the people out there who lost their mind when the Packers were over the cap, when they signed all these contracts and extensions, they re-signed Rodgers, they did the Bakhtiari contract, they extended Jair, did all those deals and said the Packers are going to be screwed. They can't
cap
even afford cap hell. They can't afford to – they're going to have to let go of Aaron Jones. They're going to have to let go of great players because they're doing all this and trying to go all in. What – are they doing? And I just want to remind everybody, Russ Ball did not just wake up earlier this week and say, whoa, I got to create some cap room here. Let's do something with Kenny Clark's contract. All of these moves were calculated and they've probably been known and is part of the plan for potentially for years. This is not new. The Packers know what they're doing, and this is why it behooves you to understand the history a little bit here. The Packers don't end up in cap hell. No, they don't end up, you know, they don't have a ton of cap room and a ton of space and money to spend. But do you want to know what, you know, the teams that do have a ton of cap space, you want to know what's different about them than the Green Bay Packers? Mark, you know what it is.
They go 3-14.
Exactly. They're not as good. They've got cap space because
they have no good players.
Because they've got issues.
See, and the Packers could have been, had they moved Rodgers last year, and again, I don't want to go down that road, but it's the way to get a lot. The way to be good and have cap space is to have a good young quarterback still on his, like the Eagles had with Kalen. But now, guess what? They're in trouble cap wise. Because they got to pay Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But for this past year, they took advantage of it by getting to the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't win it, but they got to the Super Bowl by having Hurts make next to nothing. And they're able to go out and trade for A.J. Brown. And they're able to go out and when their run defense doesn't look so good, they sign in and Dominican Sue and Linval Joseph. And they trade for the safety they got from New Orleans, Johnson. And they signed Bradbury. I mean, they were able to do a lot of things because they had a quarterback making next and a running back. The two high paying positions usually, they had a quarterback making nothing and a running back, Miles Sanders, mm-hmm. making nothing, yep. both on rookie deals.
Yep.
But now that's all going to come to roost on them this year because they got to pay Hurts a ton of money. Sanders is a free agent. They got a bunch of guys that are, but that's, that's another story. Green Bay, even with Rodgers' contract, I mean, like you said, Russ Ball, when he does these contracts, he does them knowing that, okay, like, so he signs Kenny Clark in whatever year it was, 2021 or whatever year he got his big deal, 2020 maybe, whatever. They do their contracts in such a way that they know, okay, in 2023 we can take this roster bonus and turn it into a signing bonus and stretch it out so the cap hit isn't what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, and I've had agents tell me this, they do all their contracts are done that they have the same formula. Now the money's obviously different for a Kenny Clark than it is for a Dean Lowry or it's not the same amount of money, but it's the same formula. They get X amount in a signing bonus for Y amount of years and roster bonuses of Z. So, but it's all the same formula. The Packers don't do things that other teams do in terms of this, here, that, and this, and moving things. No, you get your guaranteed money is in your signing bonus.
Right.
And then you get your money along the way, and they do roster bonuses, which can be turned into signing bonuses.
Yeah, because you can prorate those things. It's chess.
Right.
It's a chess game. Russ Ball's right. always thinking two and three steps ahead.
Yeah.
As he should be. That's his job.
And again, from a player standpoint, they're not hurting the player at all. Now, Aaron Jones, let's give Aaron Jones credit. He actually took a pay cut to stay.
Right.
He actually gave them some money back.
And here's the other thing, too, to that point.
Now, he did get more money up front, so that kind of offset it a little bit. Because I don't know about you, but I'd rather – I'll take $8 million today over $8 million over the course of a year.
Yes, because you're here and alive today. I mean, I'm not trying to sound morbid, but there's nothing more.
You give me $8 million, I'll put it in.
Yeah.
Anything and the interest I'm going to get on it is going to
nothing. So, there's nothing more guaranteed than today. So the next 3 or 4 years, great. That's money that you're going to earn. But if you get hurt or something happens or whatever, take the money now.
Right.
And the Packers know they can spread that out. So they've always done that. They knew they were going to do this. They knew they were going to make all these moves to free up space. They knew they were going to be okay. They knew a year ago that they weren't trading Aaron Rodgers, that what the cap situation was going to be this year. They knew what their situations were going to be. They knew if this, then this. They knew what all four or five scenarios were. They're already aware of what's going to happen. So no matter what, Goody can sit there and say like, oh, we need to have more conversations with Aaron Rodgers, whatever. This is all what we've talked about before. It's GM speak, coach speak. Okay, it's fine. No big deal. I did have some issues with what Matt LaFleur said at the end of the season, but I was also probably a little still raw emotion from the way they lost.
Right.
But what's Gutekunst going to say? I mean, if there is a possibility that there's going to be a trade that's going to go down, right? He's got to make sure that stays alive, and he's got to also make sure that Aaron Rodgers plays nice because Rodgers can retire at any time. He's holding that, carrot over him. But I think the Packers also knew, they are not surprised all of a sudden. They're like, oh my gosh, Aaron Rodgers is 39. Did you realize he could retire? Like if you follow social media and especially on Twitter, they'll have you believing that everything that's happening day to day is surprising the Packers just as much as it is you and me. Right?
It's not surprising. I'm not surprised at any of it, and neither are the Packers. Right. Yeah, I don't think you are either.
No. No, yeah, I'm not. I'm not in the point.
This isn't the first thing I've ever dealt with.
No, it's not. And you especially. I mean, you have a little bit of a leg up because you've seen the inner workings of a team more from the inside. But the overarching point here, if we haven't already come out and said it once again, is Russ Ball is really good at his job, yes. And we want to acknowledge that. The Packers are very fortunate that they've got him there. And then overall, we can debate Brian Gutekunst and his player acquisition. He had a pretty good draft last year. If he has another really good draft this year and they do move to Jordan Love and the Packers improve, now they only have to improve from being one game under 500, which if you're Jordan Love is a lot better than having to come in and say, well, this team was 13-4 and went to the NFC Championship game again last year and now I'm taking the ball. Then I think every, you know, Goody and Russ Ball deserve even more of their due. But if nothing else right now, the big thing is the Packers are back. They're in the game. They're in it. And they can get after some talent. And I don't know if you had anything else.
They have a bunch of free agents. Mm-hmm. Now, some of them, I think they've moved on from. I think they've decided we're not bringing this guy, but some guys back.
Goody talked about the safety position, and Adrian Amos is there. So that would seem to indicate Amos
is gone.
Yeah, he's not coming back.
I think Dean Lowry's gone. I think Alan Lazard is gone. I know there's reports that they're trying to bring. I don't believe them. I think he's gone. I think he said goodbye to the last game. I mean, he made it pretty clear he wants to move on. Mm-hmm. And again, he might, I don't know. I don't think Mercedes Lewis is back. Tonyan, I'm 50-50. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I think, let me ask you, I'll ask you, who's the one guy you think they need to bring back? If you can only bring one guy back, who you bring of the free agent?
For me, it's Kayshon Nixon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Kayshon Nixon. I'm going on offense and defense, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, there's nobody that I'm like, oh, Kayshon. Yeah, Kayshon Nixon for sure. But that's, again, this.
It took him forever. It took him since Desmond Howard to find a good return guy. Don't let him get away now.
Well, let me ask you this, Mark. Doesn't that even further accentuate the point about how good Goody and Russ Ball have done, that they're not constantly sitting here having to sweat out letting their players that they want to keep go because they're not in money trouble? I mean, that's a good problem to have, that they only have like one player that's like, hey, we got to get this guy back. And he's probably going to be a reasonable. I mean, the Packers can do it.
You would think. I mean, right. He's not going to kill him.
No.
What's a good return? Whatever a good return guy gets, that's what you got
to
give him.
Well, they have the money now. That's the thing, is people literally were like, oh, the Packers will be lucky to sign their draft class. They're never going to not have money in the hopper.
Right.
For the draft class. If the Packers are over the cap, right. If the Packers are over the salary cap, let me just give you a clue here, okay? If the Packers are over the salary cap, then it is January or February.
Right.
That's it. Right? That's it. Because they have to be under during the season, and the league year starts in the middle of March, and you have to be under the cap by the time that the league year starts. So,
but more important, and I mean, every team has to be under, but they've done it without having to get rid of good players. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams wind up getting, like, we've seen it already. I mean, the Cleveland Browns just cut a pretty good safety in John Johnson, who could be a Packer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a guy that I think the Packers will at least look at if they're going to sign a safety. And he also knows he played in Joe Barry's defense with the Rams, so that's even more another connection. Mm-hmm. The Giants last year had to cut James Bradbury, who went to the Eagles and became, you know, a really good corner.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the Giants are going to have to cut a few other people this year to try to sign Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
Yep. And the interesting thing I saw on with that one real quickly, because I know that you had some ties to the NFC East at one time. The Giants might be in an either-or situation.
Oh, they're in trouble.
Depending with those two in particular, but I mean, I don't know if you like Daniel Jones. I was watching one of the ESPN shows, and they said, well, the Giants might need one more year to be sure on Daniel Jones, and I'm like, how many more years do you need? You know, they've had four seasons of him. So how? What do you mean they need another season to figure that whole thing?
And this is just my opinion, but I think the Giants' success last year kind of hurt them. It's going to hurt them in the long run, because when Joe Shane and Brian Daboll got there, they obviously didn't give Jones his 50-year option. So they were looking like, all right, we'll play this guy. The Giants did not think they were making the playoffs last year. You give them a lie detector and ask them if they thought they were making it. No, there's no way they thought they were making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They cut people. They got rid. They had to clean up the mess that Gettleman and Joe Judge made over the prior years.
Yep.
They were a mess. They had bad players making crazy money. So if the Giants would have gone 5-12 like they were supposed to, Jones and Barkley are both gone. They're not signing either one of them. They're moving on. and they're starting over with a quarterback in the draft and a running back wherever. And but because they made the playoffs and actually won a playoff game because they beat the overrated, over everything Vikings in the playoffs, now they're kind of stuck. They're like, oh shoot, now can we let these guys go? We made the New York fans and New York media are going to go crazy if they let both of those guys go now.
Right.
And you can't listen to them. I still think the Giants should do the right thing. And I hope they give Barkley a ton of money and hope they give Jones a ton of money. And they're stuck and they're, cause they're not Jones and Barkley. Barkley's going to get hurt again. He's been hurt as much as he's been healthy. And Jones is just a guy. You're not going to Super Bowl with Daniel Jones.
Listen to this conversation and be glad that the Packers are not the Giants. Yeah. Right.
Even though the Giants made the playoffs last, even though the Giants had a better year in 2022, I'd rather be the Packers.
Cautionary tale. Now, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to win. It's great. And I love the fact that they beat the Vikings, and I'll always appreciate the Giants for knocking them off. That was awesome.
Was fun.
That was a lot of fun. You know, and then all the calls that the Vikings in 2022 were frauds was that it's only gonna exacerbate that theory. But yeah, the Packers, I mean, they've got some room to work. Now you talked about the safety from Cleveland. You talked about the safety from Cleveland. I mean, there's other positions and areas.
There are going to be more than a few safeties available in free agency. Mm-hmm. That's the one, Johnson, I mentioned from Cleveland.
Well, here's the thing.
Eagles, who I mentioned, Gardner Johnson.
Well, we talked about before the
Bates
show.
From Cincinnati is really good.
So you got a lot
Jordan
of
– Poyer from Buffalo.
So you got a bunch of guys, but you also have a guy on the roster right now that might be moving to safety.
Roswell Douglas, who I've been saying that since the day I met him in Philly. And now Gutekunst actually I don't know if he was asked or volunteered it, but he talked about that being a possibility. And I think it would be great. I think that's what he is. I think he'd be a very good free safety. I mean, his weaknesses, I'm a big Roswell Douglas fan. You know that. I think it was a great move when they picked him up. I've known the kid from when he was drafted, Jersey kid, which I like that too. Mm-hmm. His weakness is he's not the fastest corner.
No, he does not have good corner speed at all.
But as a safety, he's not the fastest safety in the league, but he's certainly not. He's a middle of the pack speed at safety.
Well, that's fine. And you said it perfectly before the show. What was his best attribute?
He watched looking at the quarterback.
When everything's in front of him.
Yes.
When he has to turn his hips, the fluidity is not there. He doesn't have the speed, and that's where he gets into trouble. And then the other problem, too, was, and I think Goody might have mentioned this as well, and there was a lot of issues with safety help and safety communication this past year as well. I think Joe Barry even said it during the season, not blaming the safeties and saying that it was all their fault. There's all kinds of different things that go into the mechanics of playing secondary, but you bring in a really smart, good –
We know that, right?
Well, you know what, Mark, and obviously I know that this is, you know, you can't just duplicate some of these great players, but the Super Bowl 45 has been on a couple times lately on TV, which I love every time. I mean, it's like, you know, talk about shows that you always watch when they're on, whether you've just watched them or not. Nick Collins.
Yes.
I forgot what a phenomenal combination of size. He was a big dude. Size and speed that he was, but he was also very smart. And the Packers do a good job of bringing in smart guys. Like, look, just find a baller, ball player safety, bring him in, let him work. If you're going to move Rasul there, because, you know, I think we both agree. If Darnell Savage is going to stay on the Packers, he's going to move into the slot. And so
that would make sense, right?
Yeah, and he's not right. So he's not going to be a safety anymore, which is great. Fine, let him make a play. I mean, he had a pick six last year off a tip in a different position. So ride the wave.
Use his strengths, which is his strength is his speed.
Yeah.
And he's not a bad cover. Let him beat a nickel. Just move him around. I mean, I hope Barry learned that you put Jair on your best – on the other team's best receiver, right?
At least finally, most of the game. Finally, you know, two years in.
Time because it's just you can't. But you know, let Jair cover Jefferson. Let him cover St. Brown when they play the Lions. Whoever it is, let him cover that guy.
Right.
And then you got Stokes on the other side, and let Savage play the slot. And then you got Roswell, and then you got to add or draft a safety for the other spot.
Now, the Packers did get, just on a side note, we talked about this beforehand too, the Packers did get a little, Goody did talk a little bit about the injured guys, so Eric Stokes is still recovering from an injury.
Right.
It sounds like
ahead of schedule.
Well, he's ahead of schedule, but it sounds like he should be present at camp, and I'm assuming he'll start on PUP. And then I don't know if he's going to be able to start the season in week one, but then we'll go from there. But if he's coming back and you're getting Jair and you've got Rasul, who's still with this team, you know, don't forget, Kayshon can play a little DB. He's not, maybe not the first guy you want out there, although he is the epitome to me of the heady veteran that I kind of want. I want that mentality with the defense. And so let me ask you this, since we started on safety, do you think as a free agent, if the Packers are going to spend money, is that where they start? Safety?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I think so.
And that matches what Goody said.
One is, I think it's their biggest need. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have others, but it's up there. It's, if not one, it's two. And it's not a great safety draft.
Yeah, there's only a couple.
I love the kid from Alabama, and it's on, but it's 50-50 that he's there at 15.
Branch, yeah.
Yeah, I love him, but I don't know if he's going to be there. And after him, it's a big drop-off to the kid from TCU, and then a bigger drop-off after that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of those guys, other than Branch, I'm not sure any of them can come in and start right away. Now, some of them might turn out to be good players. I'm sure they'll be. Every draft has guys that you don't think, and they turn out to be a good player. But Packers need a guy now. They need a guy to start. They can't groom a safety. I mean, they can. They can still take one in the third round. I mean, we've seen the Packers do that. They signed Preston and Za'Darius Smith and still draft Rashawn Gary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I could see them still drafting a safety, but not asking him to come in and start. Whereas a free agent, they would ask to come in and start. So yeah, I think safety is number one. And like I said, as we mentioned earlier, there's more than a couple good free agent safeties available.
Right. No, there are. And I also think too, Brian Gutekunst is not going to reach for. I mean, at this point, he's got a system. He's got players that he likes. He's not going to reach. So they'll do what they do. If they stay at 15 or if they maneuver around, they decide to trade back and pick up a couple other picks or things like that too. Trust the process. I think the Packers will do fine. They're not going to reach for a safety just because they need a safety. That's not at all the way the Packers have done business. That's not what they've done. I mean, Ted did more of that, and he was known as the draft and scouting guy. Ted did more of that than I've seen Goody do it. And actually, it bit Ted a little bit. The Dayton Jones pick didn't work out too well, right? When they needed
Perry.
That. Clinton Dix, I guess you could say he gave him a couple seasons, but you know, for a first round pick, he didn't turn out at all what he should have been for a first rounder.
Did it. I don't know what happened to him.
He's out of the league, so obviously he's not playing football anymore. No, listen,
good.
some guys get in here, and I think, and Mark, I mean, you know, you could tell me some stories maybe, but some guys get into the league and they're wide eyed and excited and they're rookies, and then after a year or two and of being in the league and seeing how it works and how big these guys are and how good the competition is, I think some guys are just like, man, I think it's the end of the road. And they just changed their mind.
You might be, and usually guys from Alabama aren't like that, but Dix was, I mean, I thought that was a great pick when they made it. He played pretty, he had a decent rookie year. He had an all pro year or a Pro Bowl year. Was it his second or third year where it looked like this guy, wow, this kid's going to be something. He had like seven interceptions one year.
I thought so too. Yep.
And he looked like everything was there. And then he just fell off the table. He just, and it wasn't like he didn't get hurt. It wasn't like, I mean, I've seen a lot of guys get injured and then they're never the same. But that wasn't the case. It just, I'm baffled by it. That's one of the handful of players that just they baffled me how they just that didn't. And he went to other teams. They traded him to Washington. He didn't do anything there. He went end up the Bears.
Didn't do anything there.
No,
he didn't even make the Cowboys.
No, I mean it was just he just lost it. It happened.
Well, to that point, then I mean, so when you're in a position like the Packers are, where they need they've got an entire area of the defense safety that needs some fortification, you've got to bring in guys that are known entities. You can't draft and hope that works out. That's why. And listen, you know, appreciate Brian Gutekunst. I feel like we've already heard him way more than we heard Ted. Ted spoke once a year, I think.
And said nothing.
And Brian Gutekunst has been more available lately, and he makes himself available if anything big happens. And I think when the Rodgers decision comes out, he'll probably have something to say about that too. He's going to have to come out, and if nothing else, he's going to have to come out, and if it's Jordan Love, he's going to have to sing the hell out of the praises of Jordan Love and get that trade.
Well, he started the other day.
Yep. Yeah, that was interesting, right? That was breaking trends, breaking character, and it's like, you know, I, for once, as Packers fans, we have to appreciate the transparency. It takes some of the mystery out of what it is that they're doing, but it also should give us a lot more faith that this team knows they have known what they're doing, and they've already got all the different scenarios figured out. So whatever is going to happen, the Packers are not going to have to figure anything out between now and next week. We will, because we don't know what the answer is, right? They already know. They already know the answers, and I'll bet you Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, probably knows all the answers as well. Yes. Wouldn't we love to live inside their head for just a minute so we could know what it is that's going on? So, and we've already talked about it here. I think you and I are both very much in support of Jordan Love. You're a fan of Love. Mm-hmm. If it's his time and you think it should be his time, then rock and roll with 10 and let's see what we have there.
Well, I wrote a story last year, right about this time last year. It appeared in that, I want to get this right. Is it the Cheesehead TV draft guide?
Yeah. Yep.
About Brian Gutten. I did a feature on him, and I talked to a couple people that know him. One knows him real well, and the other knows him a little bit. And the key quote to the story kind of was, his career will be defined by Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, and looking at past Packer history, Ron Wolf, Brett Favre.
Favre.
And Ted Thompson, Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah. Well, Jordan Love, I mean, if Jordan Love turns into, you know, a top-tier NFL quarterback, Brian Gutten is a top-tier NFL general manager.
No, here's the way I'll
measure
that.
If Love's a bust,
yeah.
If Love turns out to be, you know, like a lot of other first-round quarterbacks, you know, Josh Rosen or Jake Locker or Christian Ponder, I can go on and on. If he turns into one of Brandon Whedon, if he turns into one of them, Brian Gutekunst might be out of work in a couple of years.
That's very possible, yeah. And I'll just say this: my bar for that is if Jordan Love comes in and the Packers are contending for the division and they're making the playoffs and they're getting into the tournament more often than not, to me, it's successful.
Yep.
People are going to want to. People are going to say it's not unless there's a Super Bowl. But I mean I don't know that I agree with the spoiled Packer fan thing on all fronts. But to say that a quarterback is not successful if they never get to a Super Bowl, okay, I mean, you could say they're not going to go to the Hall of Fame, maybe. Right. But that doesn't mean that it was a bad pick. If the Packers are competitive and they get in the tournament every year or more often than not again, to me, that's a success. We can't expect another Hall of Fame quarterback. It just, history says the regression to the mean is going to happen. And so the Packers have had, you know, the better part of the last half century of great quarterback play. And some people still complain and say they underachieved. I say we've watched a lot of really fun football games and a lot of playoff games that other fan bases didn't get to watch, even if they have just as many or more Super Bowls than we do. And I know that those are worth more. And maybe some people would say, hey, I'll take, and we talked about this last week or the week before, where it was like, hey, would you take being bad for 6 years if it means you're definitely going to get a championship this year? And I don't know. I just, why would I want to toss 5 or 6 years of watching my team away? I don't even know if a championship is worth that anymore. But
I don't, it's a great question. It's a question I used to ask all the time in Philly.
I guess it just depends how much ammo you need and what kind of friends you have that you need to argue with all the time. Because, you know, sometimes
If you've never won, if you're the Cleveland Browns.
And then you want one finally.
Or the Detroit Lions.
Just win one.
I think, and you're older. You're like, no, I'll take winning a Super Bowl before I die, and I don't care after that. They can be bad for six.
Yeah, just win.
I'm used to them being bad anyway, so I can take 6 years of bad to know that they won it in 2024 or whatever. Yeah. You know, yeah. But when you've won them before, you just want to be good all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky enough that we've seen the Packers win Super Bowls.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're the Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, like, you know, there's Arizona Cardinals. Yeah, you might take that one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, take the championship and go. We can debate that forever. There's going to be both sides of the coin there. I say make it competitive and make it good. And I think Jordan Love,
I'm really, to be honest, as a fan, again, I'm going to play fan because that's what we are, right? At this show,
at the end of the day,
we're Packer fans. I'm going to be really excited, win, lose, whatever, to see Jordan Love play next year.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be really excited and really looking forward to it.
Yep.
If for some reason Rodgers comes back, I'm still going to watch. I said when we started how much I like Rodgers, but I don't want to see the same thing over and over again. I've seen this show has been on too many times now.
Well, let me put it this way, and this might come out wrong, but it's the only example I can think of right now. And I do mean this, you know, everyone always says it with all due respect. And I really do mean it in this case, because I love Aaron Rodgers and what he's done. I still think he can play, but here's the thing. When you're driving a car, okay, and you're at 150,000 miles and you're driving along, every time you get in that car and you drive it somewhere, you know there's a possibility that a light's going to come on. You know, a tire might pop. And if it does, you can only say to yourself, well, I should have seen it coming. Right. And so that to me is kind of what it becomes. The longer the Packers stick with Aaron Rodgers, eventually it's going to be the massive decline. It's going to be it is time to be done. And we can say he had the broken thumb last year. He's still in great shape. He can still play, and maybe he can. He just had an MVP season the season before last. So it's not like it's been years since he's played really good football. It's only been two.
Right.
But
no, I'm not.
He's going to turn 40.
This has to do with Rodgers. This has to do with it's
well,
fine. It's
I, I'm just saying. I'm just saying, like, that's why I'm in your camp. Like, I'm just saying, like, to me, that's what watching Aaron Rodgers again in 2023 mm-hmm. with the Packers to me is going to be like. It's going to be like, when, you know, when's the decline going to happen? When is there going to be like a terrible game ending? And you guess you could say it was against the Lions, but a terrible game ending pick and stuff that we saw with Favre, where it was just like, oh, geez. Now that might have been more attitudinal because he went to Minnesota and played well 2 years later, really well. But yeah. it's a 40-year-old quarterback, and so like you said, let's just the future is now. Let's see what we got. But
well, getting back to what I just said before about the quote I got from the guy close to, that knows Goody pretty well, about Love will define his tenure as a Packers general manager. Well, if they're to bring Rodgers back. And if Love never plays for the Packers, well, that kind of defines a little bit too, right? You took a quarterback in the first round, and you wind up trading him, or he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. That's not a good definition,
right?
I mean, Wolf traded for Favre, not knowing what he was getting. Really, Favre looked like a bust in Atlanta. It was only 1 year, but he certainly didn't look like he was. You know, when the Packers gave up a first round pick to get him. I remember Packer fans back then being like, "What? We traded a first round pick for this guy from Atlanta that out of shape and this and that." And you know, and turned out to be it got Ron Wolf into the Hall of Fame.
Thank you for being inept in that way, Jerry Glanville.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that trade didn't look, when it happened, nobody, very few people said, oh man, the Packers made a great trade. Everybody was like, well, they traded a first round pick. And now they had two that year, so that made it easier. But still, it worked out, got Wolf in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
When Ted Thompson, we all know, when Ted Thompson drafted Aaron Rodgers, that people wanted to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He was booed unmercifully.
Well, do you remember the guy in the atrium who confronted Ted Thompson and said the only place Aaron Rodgers is taking you is to the toilet bowl?
Yeah.
That's part of the lumps that you take as a general manager. I mean, right. Ryan Gutekunst is going to get fried no matter what he does, because there's going to be one half's going to be happy, the other half's not. Yeah, that's what you get paid all that money to make those decisions and take that kind of heat. Because it can be kind of thankless sometimes from the half of the fan base that doesn't agree with what you're doing.
Well, again, because fans are more when they traded for Favre, they did need it. I mean, they had Mikowski, but you know, Wolf wanted his own guy. Holmgren wanted his own guy. That wasn't their guy, and they liked what they saw in Favre, so they made that move. But it, like again, Favre wasn't. He was a Matt Holmgren. I wonder. I mean, if Favre would have stayed in Atlanta, he wouldn't have been Favre.
No, he wouldn't. No, he would have just fizzled out, or I don't know if somebody would have discovered him, but he would have taken a lot longer.
And if he went to some other team, I don't think, you know, he went to the perfect place. I love Mike Holmgren's one of the greatest coaches. How he's not in the Hall of Fame I'm writing that story soon. But I mean, Dick Vermeil does not belong in the Hall of Fame ahead of Mike Holmgren. That's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
Don Coryell doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame ahead of Mike Holmgren. That's also ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Holmgren. Create. I mean, Favre owes a lot of his success to Mike Holmgren. That's all I'm going to say.
100%.
Not that Favre wasn't great and didn't have an unbelievable arm and all kind of stuff, but Holmgren got the most out of it.
Holmgren is the head coach, but also Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, yeah, and Mariucci, and it was a great staff too. Yes.
Yep.
But as Andy Reid said to me when I talked, I told you this quote a couple weeks ago when I was telling my Andy Reid stories. Reid and his, you know, said, you know. Four got us the jobs. We didn't, you know, we all got jobs because of number four.
Yeah, right.
So,
and we talked about that before too.
Yeah, but so now, you know, Gutekunst and Love, they're going to, and again, like, and I'm with you. If Love wins the Super Bowl, oh my God, that gets Goody some Hall of Fame vote, right? I mean, but yeah, if Love starts next year and the Packers are back in the playoffs, I don't think anybody can be not happy.
Then it went fine. I mean, the only thing you could say is, yeah, they could have traded Rodgers a couple of years prior and got other assets. But it's the butterfly effect too. If you trade him 2 years ago, what happens this year and next year? And so just take the win as it comes. If they make the playoffs and Love's a quarterback, that's a good thing. End of story.
Listen, I mean, looking back, yes, they should have made that deal. He should be in Denver instead of Russell Wilson, and Denver would have been happier. Hackett would probably still be the head coach. The Packers would have gotten a bunch of draft picks. They wouldn't have been any worse than they did. Like they if they didn't make the playoffs, they didn't make them anyway. So I mean, but that's all hindsight. And in Goody's behalf and Murphy, whoever was in, you know, it's hard to trade the MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's hard to trade the guy after he wins his second consecutive MVP.
Right.
It just is. I mean, You know, even though they would have gotten a lot, you know, it's just hard to do that. So,
yeah. But
anyway,
absolutely.
We'll
so
see what, hopefully next week we'll have an answer when we're back here next week. Hopefully we'll know what's going on.
Have some clarity and take your time, Aaron. Just, you know, until Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday
it would
night.
Be perfect.
Right?
Wednesday around 3:30.
Well, Mark, you've got, you know, people around the league. It's just make some phone calls and make it happen. Okay. Snap your fingers and make it.
I wanted Aaron to come, like, again, he was going to come on with us tonight, but that Aubrey guy, you know, they're a little tighter.
Just a little bit. Yeah. They're good friends from a whole 3 years ago. So it's, you know, that's what supersedes us. But what is, you've talked a little bit about Packer Report before we go. What is up now? What's coming up?
Actually, what's up is what we just talked about. I've been doing the position by position. Well, this is the secondary, and I got a little lucky. I wrote about moving Douglas to safety prior to the general manager saying they just may do that. So that's up now. Just that the secondary is, I think it's a talented secondary, but there's as many questions as there is talent there, and they have to decide what they want to do. But, yep. You know,
a lot of decisions coming. I think the first domino, though, needs to be the quarterback, and we should know hopefully by the time we're recording next week.
But, I hope so.
You know, or if not, the week after that, for crying out loud. We're already
in
March.
Well, we got to know by then.
Yeah, because then free agency starts.
That's free agency.
Well, thanks everybody for rolling along with this edition of the Packaday podcast. We will be back again next week on Thursday. As always, everyone, enjoy your weekend. Hope winter is treating everybody well wherever you're at. And as always, go Pack, go.